Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. It's not news that Governor Charlie Baker enjoys impressively high approval ratings. A poll earlier this month from Morning Consult provided the latest evidence of that. It found Baker is the most popular governor in America with a 75% approval rating. With numbers like that, you might wonder who would want to challenge him next year and why. Well, so far, there are three Democrats ready to do that. Jay Gonzalez, former Governor Deval Patrick's budget chief. Newton Mayor Seti Warren is also laying the groundwork for a campaign. So is Robert K. Massey, longtime environmentalist who ran unsuccessfully for lieutenant governor back in 1994 and briefly ran for Senate in 2011 until Elizabeth Warren got in the race. Massey is an ordained Episcopal minister. He has a doctorate from Harvard Business School, and he founded the Massachusetts Energy Efficiency Coalition. And Bob Massey joins us now in the studio. Welcome, Bob Massey.
Good
to have you.
Great to be back.
So we started with that comment about how popular Charlie Baker is. You know, I spoke to someone on Beacon Hill not long ago, a Democrat, who suggested that challenging Baker was a fool's errand, is the word that he used. Why do you want to take on the most popular governor in America?
Well, let me start with we have plenty of examples in history where people started with very high poll ratings and then ended up losing. George H.W. Bush as 92% when Bill Clinton began to run against him. And we've certainly seen a lot of electoral surprises in the last few years. But to answer your question, Governor Baker is a manager who manages, I think, small-scale problems and tries to move things forward incrementally, kind of baby steps. But we have deep structural problems in Massachusetts that require us to be honest, face them, and address them. And they are deep economic problems. They are long-term issues around the transformation of our technologies and our energy. There are problems with our democracy and defending our democracy from the attacks by the White House. So there are many serious problems, and he has not demonstrated a willingness to take them on.
We have a statement from the state GOP, and I'm just going to read a brief sort of part of that. Governor Baker's bipartisan leadership, which has seen him become the most popular governor in America, has delivered results for the people of Massachusetts, including reforming the broken MBTA, historic levels of funding for education, and holding the line on taxes. Sounds like a pretty good basis for a reelection campaign. You're talking about some big structural challenges.
We have to ask not what did we do in the last year or so to improve a few things, and we're glad about that. But there are other sides of Governor Baker who's imposed cuts on many things that he himself supported, including opiate addiction, including palliative care for children, and many other things. But the bigger question is, where do we as a state want to go and be in 10 years? So we have other states that are looking at, can they provide free higher education? In New York, that's happening now. That discussion isn't even open. We have other states and countries that are moving far more rapidly around renewable energy. We waste $18 billion every year importing fossil fuels that we could be phasing out. There are countries the same size as Massachusetts that have already hit 50% renewable energy, which is much cheaper and obviously much healthier for the environment and for public health. And on and on and on. We have deep structural problems in the budget that can't continue to be fixed by little games and moving things around. We saw a story in the Boston Globe just recently which talked about how dangerous our budget structure is if we were ever to have a recession. So these are long-term problems that determine what kind of future we will have ourselves and for our children. Can we lay the groundwork for future prosperity? And those are simply not being addressed by Governor Baker.
Let me ask you about one of what I think is arguably one of the defining issues of our time, and that's economic inequality. We see it in a big way in Massachusetts, which despite this booming innovation, business and knowledge economy, has some of the highest rates of economic disparity in the nation. Do you see that as a challenge that the governor can take on? And if so, how would Governor Bob Massey address it?
Well, first of all, we have all kinds of new methods for bringing capital and jobs to local communities. They're grouped under the general heading of the, quote, new economy. New economy ideas free up money for the creation and support of local businesses, offer different models for creating jobs, for example, cooperatives and other elements. These have been tested in other states, and they could be supported by the state in a much more vigorous way. We also need to make sure that our gateway cities, which Governor Baker has promised to pay attention to, but are suffering from a lack of infrastructure, from transportation, from a failure to provide high-speed internet, all kinds of things that have been promised. So we do have prosperity for some people in the Boston area. But as a candidate for governor, I can tell you I've already been all over the state, and I've seen those communities where jobs are fragile, where they're not paying enough, where people are struggling to get an education, to find housing. That's the reality that I think that Governor Baker is not aware of. And those need to be addressed, or they're just going to get worse.
I want to take this time to ask you a little bit about your background, because it's really interesting. I'm just going to throw out a couple of markers here. You graduated from Princeton, then Yale Divinity School. You worked as an Episcopal chaplain, both in New York, the New York area, as well as Somerville. Doctorate from the Harvard Business School. And you've worked as an environmentalist, among other things, founding the Mass Energy Efficiency Coalition. I know you've done a lot in the environmental field. How do these parts of your background inform your overall political vision?
Well, first of all, let me start by saying that as a boy, I suffered from a difficult illness called hemophilia, which meant that I couldn't walk for most of my childhood. I was able to come out of that experience through the support of many people and through technology, and it taught me some lessons about just how hard it can be to move forward when you have certain kinds of impediments, how much we need to support each other. So, as I got older, I realized that all of the things that you mentioned are connected. Our economy, our environmental health, our public health, our education, there are interconnected ecosystem, if you will, of creating a prosperous community. And too often these things are addressed in isolation. So for a very long time, I worked on these things. And then the term sustainability came along, which, as you may know, is a dominant term around the world as people are trying to figure out how to create prosperity and increase benefits for families and working families and others without damaging the planet. That attitude, that understanding, that philosophy has still not fully been adopted in Massachusetts. And as a result, we are far behind many other parts of the world. So these things do fit together. I think most people understand that. And what we need is government policy, and particularly the vision and leadership from the top that understands how deeply connected these are.
Another big sort of question about you as a Democrat, and this is sort of how the party is thinking about itself in the wake of the 2016 presidential election. Democrats have been doing a lot of soul searching, asking, you know, big questions like how did they manage to lose to someone like Donald Trump? Bernie Sanders says it's time for a total remake of the Democratic Party. Do you agree with that? I mean, and what's your analysis of what ails your party?
Well, I am a strong progressive, and I favor the $15 minimum wage and paid medical leave and those core components that are important for families who are struggling to make ends meet. I do believe we need significant change, but I know a lot of Democrats around the state. I've had the privilege of making friends and understand. I don't think there's this huge divide. I think there was a major division around the election, but I think we're getting over that. And I think what everyone realizes is that the long-term Democratic Party politics and policies, which have supported families and workers, we may have been a little distracted from those over the last few years. So we just have to go back to the basic values that go back to Franklin Roosevelt, that people need a good home, a good school, a good doctor, a good job, and then they can build a life depending on the energy and commitment and insight that they have. So we've lost that. And because we're an unequal society, one of the problems is the people at the top, when they have trouble with the home, school, doctor job, they have enough money to go get it from somewhere else. But people in lower income brackets, they don't have that extra resilience. They don't have those extra resources. And so that's why when you have a expanding inequality, you also see increasing pressure on people who are struggling. And that's a special responsibility of the governor to point out that to prosper as a state, we have to prosper together.
So you mentioned earlier that one of the things that the next governor and indeed the current governor has to think about is the relationship with the Trump White House.
Right.
What's your view on that? Because Charlie Baker, of course, has a particular relationship in that he's a Republican. He didn't vote for Trump, but he's made the case that he has to find a way to work with the Trump administration for the sake of Massachusetts.
Well, I really don't agree with that. I mean, this is a fundamental question of our values as a state, our values as citizens. And Governor Baker has just taken down his periscope and gone underwater. He didn't show up at the Women's March. He didn't go to the airport at the time of the Muslim ban. He didn't go to the Copley Square defense of our constitutional rights. He didn't go to the science march. I doubt he's going to the climate march. He's doing whatever he can to keep his head low. And as a result, I think he's actually betraying our politics and our citizens. The other day, he was asked, what do you think of President Trump's false accusation that the citizens of Massachusetts were getting on buses and going to New Hampshire to vote? That's a lie, and everyone in Massachusetts knows it's a lie. And when the governor was asked about this, he said, I don't know what goes on in New Hampshire. That's not leadership. That's just keeping your head low. And right now, when the Republic itself is in threat and when we are facing a rollback of some of the most important gains for social justice, environmental progress, and for business across the country, he needs to be standing up and representing Massachusetts.
Well, I can't speak for the governor, obviously, but let me try to sort of put a different spin on what you just characterized. I mean, Governor Baker, as a Republican governor, obviously is in a difficult situation with Donald Trump. He's made it pretty clear that he didn't support Trump. At the same time, he does have to work with the federal government for the sake of his constituents in Massachusetts. So don't you give him some credit for at least trying to do that?
Well, I understand that there's some short-term questions as we resolve certain key issues. The Green Line extension, I live in Somerville, that's an important issue. I do understand that. That was the result of a long negotiated agreement. The federal government needs to live up to its responsibilities, and I support the governor working for that. But again, we are looking at, let me just give you an example. If we wanted to move towards much cheaper renewable energy, we have to stop and oppose a federal government, or at least a Trump administration, that is filled now with fossil fuel executives, our Secretary of State, the head of the EPA, the head of the Energy Department, and Trump himself, who has said that he wants to extend and revive fossil fuels. Now, that puts the United States completely out of sync.
So what can a governor do? What can a governor do?
Well, listen, let's for starters, he could drive around an electric car. Well, I have an electric car. They're wonderful. They're cheap. I don't go to the gas station anymore, or very, very rarely. And he could, just as when, let's say, the Pope came to Washington, he drove in a little bitty car to symbolize his values amidst all of these huge, huge SUVs. The governor could demonstrate through his own behavior what his values are. We're not seeing that. Also, he is trying to build pipelines that will lock in natural gas for the next 30 years. And we have had study after study, including the attorney general, saying we don't need those pipelines. So why is he fighting for that? Part of it is also so that companies can bring natural gas across the state, which was fracked in Pennsylvania, in order to sell it. That's not really our business either. So I'm saying we have changes. Let me give you one or two others. We have autonomous cars coming along. What's going to happen to all the drivers of those cars? We have other technologies that are being invented. What is that going to mean for working families? Do you ever hear this governor? He may be a nice guy, but if he were a leader, he would be raising these issues now.
Let me ask you one more thing about Governor Baker. You know, among his political strengths is that he's managed to arguably navigate successfully as a moderate Republican in a highly Democratic state in a fairly partisan world. Polls suggest that a lot of voters are comfortable with this idea of a Republican serving as a kind of check on the democratically controlled legislature. Isn't that an asset that a Democrat like you wouldn't have?
Well, first of all, I am from outside politics, and one of the benefits of if you're presenting that, is that he's also from outside politics. So although I have friends in the Democratic Party, I think I have experience building national and international organizations. I was the head of something called Ceres, which is an alliance of big institutional investors leading towards much cleaner business practices. I started something called the Global Reporting Initiative, which is an international standard-setting body to move forward human rights and basic fundamental issues of sustainability and many other things. And I think that, I am a progressive, but I got a doctorate from Harvard Business School. I know how to read a spreadsheet. I would certainly hold the line on unnecessary spending. But the point is that we need to be framing up a mechanism for investment in the future. The prosperity we have now is because people built transportation in the 19th and 20th century. We are not laying down that kind of infrastructure to prosper in the next 20 or 30 years. That's the kind of things we need to be doing. That's regional transportation. That is, as I said, regional energy. It is all kinds of new technologies that are available, but will not flourish unless they have leadership from the corner office. And that's what I think the voters in 18 months will decide they want. They'll be tired of Charlie Baker's unwillingness to speak up in relation to Donald Trump, and they will be tired of having a kind of drifting administration that has no long-term goals.
All right. Well, that's Robert K. Massey. He's a Democrat running for governor of Massachusetts, and we look forward to speaking with Governor Baker and the candidates looking to challenge him, including Democrats Seti Warren and Jay Gonzalez. We'll have Jay Gonzalez with us on May 8th. Bob Massey, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.